The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Burns and Gambo talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
All right, we'll get to the very latest about Chris Paul in a minute as we welcome you into the 5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on this What Now Wednesday is what we're calling it, where it seems like all day long it's been, oh man, what now? What now? What now? Gambo, you ready for some good news on this What Now Wednesday?
Yes.
I've got some good news for you.
You got some good news?
I've got some good news
for
you. All right. A tweet that was sent to the Burns and Gambo show account at Twitter, at Burns and Gambo, one word. Please follow us while you're there. Some good news for the Arizona sports community. I've had to fight and advocate for his life. We almost lost him four times being in the ICU. We have a long road to toe with therapy, but my bear is home. Again, thanks for all prayers. The Lemonade Man is home.
No way.
The Lemonade Man.
Oh, man, that's great news.
Lemonade, like Grandma made.
Oh. You know you want it.
The Lemonade Man is home.
That is such good news.
That's great news.
We got a tweet from at ATP19791. Some good news for the Arizona. And he retweeted a tweet from Renita Sanders, who I believe is Mrs. Lemonade Man. If that's, I could be wrong, but I don't know for sure, but I think that's the case. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But he is home, and despite four times in intensive care, the Lemonade Man is home.
Good for him.
That's great.
Good for him.
That's
awesome. Glad to hear that he's doing well.
There were fundraising efforts for him on social media. I remember donating to one or two of them several months ago. Awesome to see.
I will retweet that from the Burns and Gambo show account now so people can see that post.
Good. We needed some good news today.
We'll take it.
No kidding.
Like Grandma made, he is back. Good for him.
Good
for him. Man,
I can take some more good news. Keep throwing it out.
Yeah. Well,
who wants to try and top that?
Who
next?
Let's go.
Who next? Yeah. Right? Yes. Who next? Okay.
It's a good news Wednesday.
Yeah, let's make it not a What Now Wednesday and turn it into a good news Wednesday. All right, let's go with Chris Paul. And by now, man, I assume that you've heard. So let's update everybody on the latest. Chris Paul tested positive for COVID-19.
Yes.
Vaccinated back in February, per your reporting on both of those topics.
Yes.
He is now in the health and safety protocol, and now we wait. You're not reporting this, but you are hearing.
I've heard he's been that it's asymptomatic, not showing any real signs of it. That's what I've heard. I'm not reporting that. These are people close to the situation said that they've heard that he's asymptomatic. But listen, things change, right? You may feel good today and not feel good tomorrow. Like you may wake up good today and tomorrow you may wake up and you're throwing up and you're vomiting or you have a headache. So, you know, that's going to be a day-to-day thing. The thing that we know is that he needs to have two negative tests in a row, back-to-back, not same day, but, you know, one day and then the next day, and then they could clear him to come back to the organization.
Yeah. James Jones was on with us earlier. His reaction to the positive test when it came down.
It was unfortunate, you know, that it happened, that he had to enter protocols this week. But like always, you know, we started to reflect on what we've done so far this year and how our team has performed when our guys have been out. We've been relatively healthy, so we've been in a good space. But going forward, we're just going to continue to do the things that we've done all year. Just focus on the next practice. Try to get ourselves prepared to play and rely on the next man up.
As you said, there are two possibilities here. One, that he's not feeling very well. He continues to test positive, and you kind of have to wait 10 days before he kind of comes out of that, before he can come back to the Suns. Or number two, if he continues to be asymptomatic because he's been vaccinated, if he can produce back-to-back negative tests sometime in the next 4 days, as long as there are no symptoms and he's been vaccinated, there doesn't seem to be a reason at that point to keep him out, and that could very well be his avenue to get back.
Yes.
If he's asymptomatic, vaccinated, and back-to-back negative tests, there doesn't seem to be any reason to keep him out.
That's what we believe. I mean, that's what we have been led to believe based on the health and safety protocols, which obviously are different if you're a vaccinated player compared to if you're a not vaccinated player. If Chris Paul wasn't vaccinated, this would be a completely different story. There would be a quarantine process that he would have to follow I think regardless of the positive test, I think he would have to quarantine for a certain amount of time regardless. I think it was 14 days during the regular season. But vaccinated is something different. They do treat you differently if you're a vaccinated person rather than an unvaccinated person. The Suns have the highest level of participation in the vaccine of any organization in the NBA. That's not just players, but players, coaches, staff, management. They had the highest level of participation. So they were very good at getting their people vaccinated. So it is definitely different if you're vaccinated compared to not vaccinated. I think if he wasn't vaccinated, I don't think there's any question that he would miss the first two games at least of the series.
Yeah.
I would be saying right now it's highly unlikely that he's going to play in the first two games. With him being vaccinated, I have the hope that he might be able to play in game one.
You know, it's funny. The story, we've watched it evolve throughout the whole day. And one of the first people I saw to comment on it was Jalen Rose this morning on Get Up with Mike Greenberg. And it seems like we've kind of come all the way around back to basically what he was saying this morning. And what he was basically saying in a nutshell was, this is not doom, this is not gloom. At worst, Chris Paul misses a game. And I don't even know if it's that. That's what Jalen Rose was saying this morning. I have to assume he was talking either to Paul or somebody close to Paul. But knock on wood, I think people looked at this story, Gambo, and they saw the word indefinitely, and they freaked out. They saw COVID, and they just assumed it was like every other COVID case that we've seen in the NBA the last few months, where you just kind of assume it's a 10-day deal. But now in this era of vaccination, if he can get you those two negative tests and he's not showing any symptoms at all, then that leads you to believe he could be back quicker. And again, the schedule, for those of you wondering, Utah and the Clippers play tonight. It's game five. That series is tied 2-2. If that series goes all the way to a seventh game, the soonest the Suns would be back on the floor is Tuesday. So that is what? You believe it was Monday when he tested
positive? Tuesday's the latest they'd be back on the floor.
That's what I said. Yeah, Tuesday's latest. The latest.
You said soonest. So latest that they'd
be back. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say soonest?
Soonest is Sunday. Latest is
okay,
Tuesday.
Okay, I misspoke.
Okay.
Tuesday is the latest they could be on the floor. Sunday is the earliest they could be on the floor.
Which, you know,
thanks for correcting me.
I think
that
more than anything, you just root for the seven games now.
Oh, big time.
You don't really root for a team. If Kawhi's out, the Suns, you feel really good about the Suns beating the Lakers, the Clippers. If the Jazz win, they got Conley.
It's been a long
injured.
Day for all of us, Gambo. Don't worry
boy,
about it.
Oh, boy, it
we're
has
a little
been,
fried. Yeah.
If they play the Jazz, you've got a Donovan Mitchell's a little banged up, and you got Conley who's been out. So yeah. I think you just root for the seven games, because seven games gives you more rest. They have to play each other. Who knows who else is going to get hurt in this series if they've got to play three more games, and you get more chances for Chris Paul to test negative.
Yeah.
So I think more than anything, you want the Jazz to win tonight, the Clippers to win game six, and then the game seven, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
Because that's Chris Paul's best opportunity to play in game
Things
one.
Could definitely still get sideways on the story. I'm not suggesting that they're in the clear by any stretch. There's still a whole lot that we don't know about it, but it seems to me there is a path here where you could see this just isn't going to be that big of a deal. As long as certain requirements are met and as long as the timeline works out for the Suns, he might not miss a game when it's all said and done. Or it might be glasses half empty, and it's even worse than that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll stay with this because it's the top story of the day. Whenever he returns to the floor, how will Chris Paul be affected by his positive COVID test? That's next, Burns and Gambo show. Now, of course, the question that still somewhat remains unanswered is probably the most important question of them all. How is Chris Paul feeling? Now, I know what you're not reporting, but I know what you're hearing. And what you're hearing is that he's asymptomatic.
I've heard that he's not showing any symptoms, so that would be asymptomatic. There's a big difference between having symptoms and being asymptomatic, so I think that's a good thing, too. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, if you're asymptomatic one day, that doesn't mean you're going to be asymptomatic the next. So we just have to preface this by saying that, you know, you don't know how he's going to feel tomorrow. But what I've heard from two different people, you know, two different people have told me that what they're hearing is that he is asymptomatic. But again, I'm not going to put a report out on that, a story out on that, because I just, you know, things change so quickly with that. That's what I've heard, and that could change.
I only bring it up because you mentioned it earlier in the show that's sort of what maybe you had heard. So that would obviously, because what you're, you know, he's got COVID. And he's tested positive for COVID, and vaccine or no vaccine, you know, if he starts feeling symptoms, well, first of all, that's obviously going to delay his return to the floor. That goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway. And then number two, when he does return to the floor, you wonder how that impacts him. You wonder how that affects his ability to play basketball. We had on our show earlier today Dr. Shad Marvasti. He is the Director of Public Health Prevention and Health at U of A College of Medicine in Phoenix. And he said if Chris Paul is asymptomatic, he could play very soon.
It's definitely reasonable. According to the health and safety standards of the NBA established, there's two ways for a player to get back on the court. One is 10 days after testing positive to basically have no symptoms, no fevers, at least for 24 hours on the last day before or any symptoms improving, and then they can go back, which would mean that he wouldn't be able to play on Sunday or Tuesday, or two negative back-to-back PCR tests that are at least 24 hours apart. And that could be the option that may work for him to get back to that game one. But I would say most likely game two, if not game one, if everything goes well and he's been vaccinated, which in most cases people have been vaccinated, they have no symptoms even if they test positive and it's just a formality.
In fact, you even asked him what kind of shape Chris Paul would be in when he returns.
Well, let me give you this stat. 93% of people who get COVID after being fully vaccinated have no symptoms or very mild symptoms. And that's the average person. And we're talking here about a finely tuned professional athlete. So I think it's really, you know, much less likely for this to have any kind of real impact, especially if he doesn't have any symptoms and he's been fully vaccinated.
I think that that's the good news, too, is that the feeling is, and listen, I mean, we're still learning a lot about this stuff, too. You know, I mean, I've been vaccinated. I have people in my family that won't get vaccinated. You know, and everybody's entitled to do what they want. It's your body, and I encourage you to do what you want. You know, whatever you feel, if you feel like you're good to get the virus, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. I had the vaccine. But when you hear this news, like I was encouraged by that part of it. Like, okay, if he does have it, it's unlikely that it's going to be, you know, harsh on him because he's got the vaccine.
Yeah.
So it might be a lot more mild than if he wasn't vaccinated. It could be a lot more difficult on him.
In fact, we asked him what his first initial reaction was as a doctor and a Suns fan. I mean, again, he's the director of public health at the U of A College of Medicine here in Phoenix. We were joking with him when we had him on live. He's a Suns fan dating back to the madhouse on McDowell, the pre-Barkley years. So his reaction as a doctor and a Suns fan was basically...
My first reaction was, I hope he's fully vaccinated. Because if he's fully vaccinated, it's likely not to be a big deal. And if he's not, then it may still be a mild deal. Because, again, most folks who are athletes usually do okay because he's pretty healthy. But, you know, I'm hoping for the best. You know, that's obviously, I'm going to try to see it that way. And I think, in all likelihood, you know, according to the sources you guys have, he has been vaccinated back in February. So I'm pretty positive about what's going to happen.
And that's the thing. When this news broke this morning, Gambo, I think there was a lot of doom and there was a lot of gloom and there was a lot of panic and there was a lot of concern because we're used to dealing with stories like this among the unvaccinated. You know, like 4 months ago, 5 months ago, when a professional athlete got COVID, you just assumed, oh, that's it. He's out for 2 weeks, maybe even longer. But we have to process the information a little different now that we're in this era of vaccination and people having the vaccine. And his reaction of, well, as long as he's vaccinated, he should be fine. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. I think people weren't thinking of the Chris Paul story in that light because we're used to thinking about it like
unvaccinated.
Right, exactly. Now, that's it. You're out 3 weeks, you know?
Steve Clifford, who was the Orlando Magic coach this year, was vaccinated and tested positive. He missed 6 games. And now that's an older guy. He's not a player. He's a coach. So Steve Clifford was vaccinated, tested positive, and missed 6 games. Damian Lee of the Warriors was vaccinated, tested positive, and was out. So there are a couple examples of guys in the NBA, one coach, one player that I know of. If there's any more, I don't know. But one coach and one player that were vaccinated and then tested positive after being vaccinated and had to miss some time. We'll see with Chris Paul. Again, you know, my understanding, vaccinated in February at the Fairgrounds with a couple of the Suns players that day. The Suns have the highest level of participation in the vaccine of any team in the league. And based on what the doctor said that we had on, There's a lot of hope that Chris Paul will show a couple of negative tests real soon and be able to get back out there very quickly.
Dr. Marvosti also brought up Chris Paul's viral load numbers, which, you know, sounds like a lot of medical information, but he explains it quite sufficiently and simply.
The tricky thing with COVID is you can be totally asymptomatic but still have a viral load that's just as much as someone who's totally sick. It wouldn't really impact you. It's more to see whether or not you have the symptoms, but what it could impact is those around you in terms of whether or not you can get other people sick. But again, if he's fully vaccinated, it's likely to be a non-issue because his viral load, it's never going to get that high because of the antibodies he already has that are fighting that stuff off. So, you know, again, I'm pretty hopeful and optimistic at this point.
And that speaks directly to his teammates and the people around him, right?
100%.
And if he's being vaccinated, if the viral, you know, and I'm not a doctor, I'm a talk show host, but if what he's saying, if what the doctor is saying is accurate, I'm getting a lot of messages, I'm sure you have too. What does this mean for his teammates? What does this mean for the guys that he's been around? Well, if the participation was truly the highest in the league, and if most of them have been vaccinated, it shouldn't really mean that much.
Well, you hope so, right?
Right, you do. You do. I don't want to sit here and say I know how this is going to turn out, because I don't. And nobody really truly does. I'll tell you this. I feel a whole lot better about it now than I did
7 hours
ago. At 6:30 this morning when I saw the text message on my phone. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean we're fine. Hey, Burnsy thinks we're okay, so we're fine. No, of course not. I feel a whole lot better about this right now than I did at 6:30 this morning when I got that text. Sarah?
And just even knowing now from Gambo's report that Chris Paul is vaccinated, that just eliminates a lot of the worry and a lot of the variables and just helps you narrow down, okay, so even if this is a real positive, we now know it'll be this window of time as opposed to 3 weeks potentially or whatever. It just narrows the focus a little.
Yeah, we hope. We think that will be the case. We hope that that's the case.
I do think that was the most, the most important element of some of your reporting today was just knowing that he had been vaccinated. It was like, okay, this is a different path that we're charting here than otherwise it
hadn't
been. And
as you just touched on, unlikely to have passed anything on to anybody else. This is not going to be a team spread situation,
think. And listen, I've learned this firsthand. I mean, to be just honest about this, like you guys know, I'm leaving in 2 weeks from today to go to Italy. I'm vaccinated. You would think I should be okay. But it's not like, okay, you're vaccinated. Welcome to Italy. Come on in. Open arms.
Right, sure.
We'll give you a hug and a kiss.
There is still that 5% for Pfizer.
So I have to... And along with my family, I had to get on a special COVID-tested flight. And if they're rare, to get them. So I had to change everything about my flight because I would have had to quarantine for 10 days. So I had to change my schedule. Instead of flying Phoenix to London, I'm going to New York. I'm going to sit there for 12 hours. I'm going to get tested in New York after I get tested here. Then if everything goes good, I'm going to get on the plane, go get to Milan, and then be tested in Milan.
When you say a COVID-tested flight, does that mean everybody?
Everybody.
On?
Okay. Everybody is tested. It's the only way to get to Italy and not quarantine for 10 days is if you were on a select, I'm on American Airlines, a COVID-tested flight.
Where
everybody is COVID-tested.
Okay.
Everybody is tested before they get on the plane, and everybody's tested when they get off the plane. Mm.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, back to the bad news, the What Now Wednesday. This season has the potential to be a real good one for ASU football, a special one perhaps. Now that they're being investigated by the NCAA, will this season be played under a dark, looming cloud? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. Time for the Vizzy What's On Tonight, brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C, proud sponsor of your Arizona Diamondbacks. They are on tonight. We'll talk more about them coming up in about 10 minutes as they're taking on the Giants. The word desperately is not desperate enough for the Diamondbacks, but they desperately need a win tonight in the worst kind of way.
Come on, D-backs. Come on, man. Don't be part of that record.
We will talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes. That's what's on tonight. In addition to that, NBA basketball is on tonight. Two very crucial game fives tonight, one of which is underway. The Sixers are beating the Hawks 46-31. Philly and Atlanta are tied two games apiece in that one.
That Philly Hawks series has been good.
It has been good.
That's been good.
7 minutes to go or so in the first half in that game. And then, of course, later tonight, the one that every Suns fan should be watching tonight, the Clippers versus the Jazz game five. No Mike Conley, no Kawhi Leonard, a somewhat hobbled Donovan Mitchell, and the Suns awaiting the winner and hoping like heck this thing goes to a seventh game somehow, some way.
Do you root for anybody tonight or you just don't care?
You know what?
Do you just not even care?
I don't care who wins tonight because I'm just going to root for whoever loses tonight
to win
on
the
Friday.
Next game?
Yep. I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'll watch.
In a way, though, if the Clippers win tonight, don't you kind of feel like you're playing with house money a game seven?
Okay. I guess that, you know what? Jordan's right. Jordan actually put some thought into this.
You root better
for Utah tonight because you kind of think like the Clippers are probably going to win at home. Are they though?
I don't think that. If Donovan Mitchell's right, I don't think that they. I don't think the Clippers can win another game.
So in that regard, I root for seven games. However we get there, I don't care.
I'm with you.
Just get me to a seventh.
I feel you.
Too mentally exhausted to have a rooting interest. Just like somebody win the game. I'm worn out. And then 2 days from now, the other team win that game.
On this What Now Wednesday, we're all worn out here on the Burns and Gambo show. And as part of the cascade of news this morning, it certainly didn't get lost. And certainly this is a story that must be followed and monitored. ASU football is now under investigation by the NCAA for recruiting violations. According to a report that first came out from the very good Doug Howler, the very talented Doug Howler, who's covered ASU for a number of years, now with the Athletic, he is reporting that they're being investigated for potentially hosting high school prospects during the recent dead period as brought on by COVID. There was like a 15-month period where you were not allowed to host prospects in for visits on your campus. If they wanted to come visit on their own dime, fine. But they weren't allowed to meet with coaches. They weren't allowed to have any benefits at all. If you wanted to come and visit, come and visit. But we can't have anything to do with it. The allegations are that ASU had they entertained these players and they had something to do with it.
Yeah. And they're going to pay a price. Apparently, there's proof. And now, listen, investigations take a long time. I don't think you'll have anything tomorrow or next week or even next month. Investigations take a long. How long did Sean Miller's investigation last? Pat Murphy's investigation. Investigations take forever. Exactly, they take forever. So I wouldn't expect anything. Soon on this. I think this is going to drag out for a long time.
Now, again, these are all allegations, so I'm going to kind of blanket statement at the beginning of all this. Allegedly, here's what happened at ASU. There was Doug Howler's report, and he was on with Bickley and Murata today. Then there's this Pete Thamel report on Yahoo Sports, and man, this stuff just gets into the nitty-gritty, and it does not paint a very flattering picture at all. If these allegations are true, anonymous sources told Yahoo Sports and Pete Thamel the Sun Devils, quote, deliberately, blatantly, and consistently broke rules related to hosting players during the dead period that includes Herm Edwards meeting with recruits. According to the Yahoo report, Edwards and his staff reportedly hosted at least 30 players, quote unquote, over a span of months. Offered late-night facility tours, drove prospects around ASU's campus, bumped into recruits and families in a back stairwell in orchestrated fashion. Here's the hardcore part.
Orchestrated fashion.
In an orchestrated fashion. Like, oh, hey, look who's here in the hallway. Oh, aren't you recruit out of California? Yeah. Don't you want to come play with this guy? Oh,
that's crazy.
That's crazy that we would randomly butt. Now, again, allegedly.
Truth will come out. The truth will come out. You got to give it time. I mean, there will be, there'll be an investigation. The truth will come out. Everything has to be proven that's being alleged and stuff like that. So we'll see.
Yep. There's a little bit more.
Please go ahead. Yeah, I'm just giving you some. Go ahead.
No. I appreciate because it is that's fair and right to say that we will find out in time where this goes. According to Thamel, ASU Athletics Department obtained dozens of pages submitted by an anonymous person that includes screenshots, receipts, pictures, emails related to these potential violations at ASU's program. And then the strangest part about this story is that Thamel writes about defensive coordinator Antonio Pierce and the idea that he might have pressured fellow ASU coaches into doing these things. Into these impermissible tactics. tactics and spurn those who insisted on avoiding these gray areas into doing something. Apparently, his aggressive nature kind of allegedly divided the program's personnel, which led to, oh boy, this is crazy.
Ooh, say that part again.
Pierce's aggressive nature created divisions within the program's personnel, which reportedly led some staff members to keep a log of violations, quote, as protection for their own jobs, close quote.
Okay.
The Thamel story says there were at least half a dozen staffers, quote unquote, keeping the receipts. So it's not just one or two rogue employees. There are quite a few, allegedly, again.
And then you brought up.
Can I bring.
Go for it. Yeah, please do. Yeah, go for it.
Kevin Mawai.
That's what I thought you were going to bring up. Yes.
Former ASU offensive assistant put this tweet out and then deleted it. He quoted Luke from the Bible. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Luke 8:17. That was a tweet from Kevin Mawai. He deleted the tweet, but it was screenshot and sent to me.
Cryptic.
Now, this was on June 15th at 1:14 p.m.
Okay, so that was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to look at the date too.
And then.
Me too. I have no idea what today's date is.
As a follow up to that,
I have no idea.
Dave Christensen, the former Wyoming head coach who retired from ASU in 2020, responded with three emojis to Kevin Mawai's tweet, one the thinking emoji, one the wide eyed emoji, and another with praying hands. Both declined comment when reached by Yahoo Sports. Listen to this. Multiple former staff members told Yahoo Sports they'd be happy to speak with the NCAA. Happy to.
About ASU?
An unusual stance in a football culture that frowns on anyone speaking to the NCAA. It speaks to how divided the staff at ASU became. That is a quote unquote from Pete Thamel's report. That's not me putting my own opinions on this. That is, I'm reading from the report.
Anybody want to get off that train?
Right. Continuing from that real quick, one employee said that Antonio Pierce fostered an in-or-out culture within the program, which created mistrust and fear as he accumulated power and convinced Herm Edwards to bring in recruiting-focused coaches, et cetera, et cetera. The alleged recruiting violations, not great. But this points toward a larger issue.
Listen,
on the staff.
You would hope right now that maybe it was a rogue coach and Herm Edwards didn't have any knowledge of it. That's what you would hope for. If Herm had knowledge of it, then this program's in a lot of trouble. If Antonio Pierce and Herm Edwards were orchestrating this or involved in it, then the program's in a lot of trouble. But, listen, you're not going to hear anything from ASU right now. There's an investigation going on. No one can comment. You're not going to read any quotes. The truth will come out eventually. And I think, like with anything like this, you got to give it time. So eventually the truth can come out.
To say the Diamondbacks are struggling would be insulting to the word struggling. Some help is on the way. Just wish it were tonight. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Cheesecake Blasts for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
I'm looking at something. I just look, five crazy stats from the Giants' epic comeback win over the D-backs.
Oh, okay. This should be rich.
Memories of Bonds, who hasn't played since 2007. The Giants launched two splash hits for just the third time ever. Duggar and Yastrzemski both crushed him into McCovey Cove. Bonds did it twice. The last time was in 2002. That's one. Against the odds, the Diamondbacks had a 92% chance to win that game.
Yes.
A 92% win probability to win that baseball game. Winning games when trailing by seven runs just feels just like the Giants' World Series wins since coming to San Francisco. Since 1990, the Giants now have three wins when being down by at least seven runs. They did it once in 2019 and once in 2004. The grandest of grand slams. Yastrzemski's grand slam was more than a long ball sailing into the San Francisco sky. It was a moment, a talking point. It was one to tell your friends for a long time. 13th in the grand slam was the 13th in Giants history when trailing in the eighth inning or later.
It was an awful night for the Arizona Diamondbacks, to say the least. They lose 9-8 to the San Francisco Giants after leading 7-0 after an inning and a half. We're already on the precipice of a record for the Arizona Diamondbacks, and last night they tied one in last night's game alone. It was the largest blown lead in a loss in team history. Ties for the largest blown lead in any loss in team history. Back in 2009, they lost a game to the Marlins when they were up 7-0. They lost 14-7. They were up 7-0 last night after an inning and a half. Lost 9-8 on the grand slam from Yastrzemski that you talked about a second ago. And this is Diamondbacks on deck as we get you ready for Diamondbacks baseball coming up as soon as we're done here on the Burns and Gambo show. And I'll just tell you, I'll tell everybody what's on the line tonight. One more loss from the Arizona Diamondbacks. That'll be 22 straight on the road. That will tie them for the major league record, co-owned by the 1943 Philadelphia Athletics and the 1963 New York Mets for the longest road losing streak in baseball history.
You don't want any part of that.
That's what's on the line tonight.
The teams are now 1-193 when trailing by at least 7 runs in a baseball game this year. The one win was the Giants last night.
So your pitching matchup tonight brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. Merrill Kelly for the Diamondbacks, 2-6. 5.14 ERA. Anthony DeSclafani for the Giants, 6-2 with a 3.09 ERA.
Yeah, you know, you feel good about Gallen tomorrow, Merrill Kelly today, ending this thing. You feel good that at least you got your two best pitchers that are available now with Gallen coming back going. I'm a Merrill Kelly guy. I like him. I think he's a solid pitcher. This team just feels snake bitten. It just feels like they're jinxed. Just something is wrong. They've 21 consecutive road games, 35 out of 40 overall. I mean, it's hard to say you think they're going to win a baseball game because even with a 7-run lead last night, they weren't able to do it.
Yep, it was. And if they don't win tonight, like I say, they tie the record. Tomorrow night, they would own the record on their own. Zach Gallen, you mentioned it a second ago, activated, back. He's going to get the start tomorrow. He's very happy to be back. The Diamondbacks are obviously very happy to have him back. But what's getting a lot of attention right now, Gambo, are his comments pregame about the sticky substance crackdown.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear
that. We saw in baseball yesterday.
Yeah, Tyler Glass now was like, this is ridiculous, man. We use this stuff, and it helps our grip, and that's it.
Okay, here's Zach Gallen, and it's a lengthy cut, but you're going to want to listen to this.
When the commissioner's office sits down and does an interview and wants to talk about it, then we'll have at it. We'll talk about it. But, it's been a custom and practice for, I would imagine, a lot of organizations, especially the person who is running that part of the commissioner's office that's leading the crackdown. He was in charge of an organization that was definitely at one point saying, hey, this is you're going to need these things to help you. Until the commissioner's office comes out and actually held a press conference, and they want to talk about, the findings and testings and all this stuff, then I'll come back to you guys.
So wait, sorry, just to read between the lines there, are you suggesting that it was kind of something that the Marlins suggested guys use when you were there?
You can read between the lines.
If you missed all that or you didn't have it the proper context, without saying his name, Zach Buchanan from The Athletic did the research on this. MLB Vice President Michael Hill was the Marlins GM. He now works for Major League Baseball. What Zach Gallen is basically saying, without naming his name, what Zach Gallen is basically saying that when he was running the Marlins, he promoted using the sticky stuff, and now he's the guy in the commissioner's office who is saying you can't use the sticky stuff. And that's sort of Zach Gallen's...
Changes roles. Commissioner's office compared to being in charge of a team.
Yeah, that's sort of Zach Gallen's point. Is like, okay, you're telling me at the time, use it. Did you see Brandon Webb on
Of course, after the game was over.
The spider tack, how he went out and he bought a canister of the spider tack, the stuff they used to get the grip, and how, I mean, literally he put his finger in it, and it didn't move from his finger. It was like he stuck his finger in a vat of super glue, and you could just see the can dangling about 1 inch below his finger, and it would not move.
And
the
he
stuff
said he
so
never
sticky.
Used anything. He just said, I was able to grip the baseball. So he talked about how he didn't use any of that stuff. So you got the win last night, Jimmy Scherfe.
What now?
Jimmy Scherfe, I think, got the win for the Giants last night. The former Diamondback.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy
yeah.
Scherfe?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was still thinking about the sticky stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Maloney's boy.
You changed.
It's been a long day.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, Jim, we're talking about Jimmy Scherfe now? I'm confused.
James Scherfe.
Sorry, James Scherfe. My apologies.
Maloney's boy from Oregon.
That's right.
Yeah, Webby was saying that it takes you months to get used to pitching with the stuff. And it's going to take you months to get used to not pitching with the stuff. It's going to be, I mean, it's baseball's mess. They got to clean it up. It's going to make for potentially some injuries and potentially some rough baseball to watch. And you're already starting to see the numbers come down.
They should never do this in the middle of the season. That should be something they do in the offseason. They should discuss this. This should never happen now in the middle of a season.
But Zach Gallen kind of speaking out about it a little bit. Very interesting. Time for your MLB standings. They're brought to you by PNC Bank. Financial tools and tech to help make things easier. San Francisco Giants, obviously, still the best team in the National League, 42-25. Dodgers are a game back. The Padres starting to slip a little bit now, 5.5 back out of first. The Arizona Diamondbacks, 22.5 games out of first. You ready to give us a key to tonight's
game,
Gambo? I'm ready.
I got your great
key. I'm you, the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to selltosands.com today.
Emmett Smith, Ricky Henderson, Clyde Drexler, Clayton Kershaw, Moses Malone, Elgin Baylor, Mike Schmidt, Jim Palmer, Roger Clemens, Bob Hayes, Gaylord Perry, Andrew McCutcheon, Brett Hull, Mike Bossy. These are all guys that won number 22. Avoid being number 22.
The life of me, I'm like, the hell is he going with this?
Dave Duerson, Roger Wehrle, Robinson Cano,
avoid
Bernard King,
avoid
Larry
22.
Nance, Asante Samuel.
Well, we will
avoid
see if,
22.
We will see if they can avoid 22 because 22 ties the record. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. It's straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.